This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council, Gay Men's Health Centre on Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon and welcome to Well Well Well, brought to you live every Tuesday by the Victorian AIDS Council at midday or 12:05. My name is Tex and with me this week is my co-host Carlos. First off, thanks to the Gazman for a sensational morning show and that very sexy Kylie singing about Christmas.
Awesome song, wasn't it?
How are you, Carlos?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm pretty super.
You were talking about the song. How awesome was that song?
I actually liked it.
You didn't have to dance, though.
Oh, well, I was dancing with my arms.
Well, yeah, sure.
Now, Carlos, if people haven't tuned into Well, Well, Well before, what can they expect?
Well, here at Well, 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 we talk about topics related to sex, health and well-being on our gender and sexually diverse community. So, Tex, today, what are we talking about?
Well, we've got an action-packed show today, Carlos.
Action-packed.
Indeed. We're going to be exploring how to best look after yourself. Over the summer period, if people are using recreational or illegal drugs, that's over the summer period. Now, our guests are going to be Dr. Matt Dunn from Deakin Uni and Bill O'Loughlin, the president of Harm Reduction Victoria. Both Matt and Bill have been on Joy before. Here at Joy and at the Victorian AIDS Council, we don't condone the use of illegal drugs and substances. However, we do think if people are using, they should have the knowledge to use responsibly and with a degree of safety. Now, we have a big hello to go out first today, Carlos. It's hello to the NAB volunteers, the National Australia Bank volunteers, currently at the Victorian AIDS Council today making up safe sex packs. So, a very big hello to Ben, Claire, George and Tiani. Now, Carlos, of course, we always want our listener to join in the conversation if they want to. So how can they do that?
Well, if you want to be part of the conversation today, you can call us at 1-300-JOY-949 or to send us an email on air at joy.org.au. Send us an SMS 0427-JOY-949 or tweet us at wellwellwelljoy. And of course, you can like us via facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy.
So there's a plethora of ways that you can get in contact with us.
It's incredible the amount of options that you have.
Indeed, and if people send an SMS or an email, they come to us here in the studio. This is Well 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 on Joy 94.9, and we're now joined in the studio by our first guest, Dr. Matt Dunn. Matt is a senior lecturer at Deakin University in Public Health. Good afternoon, Matt, and welcome to Well Well Well.
Thank you for having me.
Matt, to start with, could you share with us and with our listener a little bit about the work you undertake at Deakin and elsewhere, if it's work that's done elsewhere as well?
Sure. So I started in the public health field back in 2002 when I started my PhD. In 2005, I started working at the National Drug and Alcohol Research Centre back in Sydney. Mm-hmm. And then in 2011, I started at Deakin University. And so I'm a teaching and a research academic, and my research is all about substance use and harm.
Okay, so you've been involved in education for quite a while.
Yes, so I started teaching, I think, about 2000 in the university sector, so it's been longer than I care to think about. Thanks, Tex.
Right, 15 years. Now, Matt, we've invited you in today to talk about illicit drug use in the community. What can you share about illicit drug use in the community and perhaps in relation to the work that you do?
Sure, so the one thing I usually tell people when I talk about what I do and drug use, either in Australia, Victoria, wherever, is that it's probably not as prevalent as people think. Mm-hmm. So the most widely used drug in Australia is cannabis, which is probably no surprise. But some of those other drugs like heroin and so forth, not very many people use them, but they get a lot of media attention for a variety of reasons. And sometimes that's because of the immediate harm that people can have from them. But also at the moment, we're talking a lot about crystal methamphetamine or ice. Mm-hmm. but actually what's more prevalent is people using prescription medications for non-medical use. So that's actually more, probably more of an issue than some of the other drugs that, that we hear about.
And are you aware of any research, kind of research, that indicates that people from the GLBTI community are more likely to use drugs than heterosexual communities?
Sure. So there's been not as much research as probably what we need. And the earlier research, I'm not going to say it wasn't great, but we'd get a whole bunch of non-heterosexual people, ask them if they use drugs, and then made assumptions from that. But we had no comparison group or no control group, so it told us really nothing. A review came out a couple of years ago from colleagues of mine back at the University of New South Wales, and it did show that GLBTIQ people tend to have different substance use patterns. Sometimes that means that it is higher in terms of illicit drugs, but also alcohol. But what's really interesting is when you start to look at some of the individual studies, we see differences within our own community. So lesbians have higher rates of problematic alcohol use compared to gay men. But again, there's not enough research out there, so we're drawing upon a very small body. But it does tend to suggest that we have higher consumption rates, non-GLBTIQ people.
Okay, and does it extrapolate as to why that would be? I mean, is it because of levels of depression, or, you know, is there a particular reason, like, you know, why are lesbians, if you like, more likely to be heavy drinkers as opposed to gay men or other people?
Yeah, look, again, we don't really know. So for some of the acronyms under our umbrella, we don't have any research at all, or very, very little. So we don't really know. Is a short answer to that. Gay men are the ones that we have the most research for, or men who have sex with men. And there are a range of theories around that, but some of it is around either internalized homophobia or some of the stigmatization that we as a group experience when we come out, issues around acceptance and so forth. We also have a community that I think centers around, or traditionally has centered around, that nightlife economy around going to bars, going to pubs. They have been the safe spaces traditionally for some in our community, and because of that, if you're meeting your friends, like-minded people at a pub or a club, that's what we tend to do there. So I think, as I said, there's a range of explanations for why, but there's some of the main ones.
So in terms of stigma related with drug use, is there any particular drugs that will attach some stigma to it?
I think all drug use has stigma around it. We tend to, I think in community at large, not just our community, but alcohol is widely accepted, and you can go out on the weekend, drink a keg and throw up, and everyone has a bit of a laugh about it. When it comes to substance use, I see a kind of a graded response to it. So you might tell someone that you use ecstasy and people think, oh, well, you're just a club kid, that's whatever. And then as you start to go down to some of the more niche drugs, people do have really... There's a lot of stigma in our community, so GHB is one of them. I think because if you've seen someone have a bad experience with that in terms of overdosing, it is quite traumatic. It's not a good thing. Crystal methamphetamine also is stigmatized in our community, and I think that's partly driven by the media at the moment. But even things like heroin have traditionally been stigmatized, and yet when people admit using maybe a prescription form of that drug, people don't have that same reaction to it. So people vary in how they react to someone that mentions that they're using a particular substance.
It's interesting because, talking about stigma, it used to be that heroin was the big drug that was seen as a major problem.
Yeah.
Do people still see it, something like heroin, as a major problem, or has that been replaced by crystal methamphetamine or ice, which we keep on hearing in the media, especially how ice, if you like, is ravaging small country towns where lots of people, for all sorts of reasons, are addicted to a drug like that?
Yeah, I think heroin probably isn't in our faces as much as particularly when I was growing up, or even in the 90s and so forth. I think one of the reasons why is we had some really good health responses to that. So we have substitution therapy for that. So if a problem is having a problem with heroin, we can try and move them over to a substitution medication, and they can live really, I hate using the word normal, but a normal active life. Again, I hate using that word, but
yep,
it reduces some of the harms that they're having from using heroin. We've done that really, really well. We don't have that for methamphetamine. So there's no substitution that we can move a person from using crystal methamphetamine or ice onto something else. So we don't have those good responses. And until then, I think we're still going to continue to see these problems.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And if you just join us, we are chatting with Dr. Matt Dunn, a researcher from Deakin University. Now, we were talking about GLBTI community. So is there an average risk group generically who use drugs, more likely to be younger, older, aged?
There's never a generic group when it comes to this sort of thing. In Australia at large, the group that always seems to come up in our research whenever it's looking at who might be at risk for either higher use or harm is young men. So that male 20 to 29 group always pops up. So that would be the group that I would say, if generically we're looking at a group that might be at risk, they're the ones.
And would that be necessarily more likely to be heterosexual men, or is it more likely to be young gay or bisexual men, or is it just generally that's the age group for men?
Yeah, I think just generally, because I think our circumstances are all different. And so when I look at, you know, my social group growing up, we all had different trajectories. And so that, I guess, still holds forth. I think, though, if your people are using substance use, the younger you are, you're probably going to carry that on as you get older. But we do see people stop. They either take one or two paths, they'll keep going and maybe use a little bit higher, or they'll kind of stop. So just because someone's using drugs when they're younger doesn't necessarily mean that they will keep doing it as they get older.
Okay. And is there a connection between illicit drug use and people with HIV? Now, I ask that question, of course, because on this show, we deal with a lot of topics in relation to HIV, and a lot of people living with HIV do listen to the show. So I just wondered, is there a connection?
We were just talking about this outside, and it's everyone's kind of got an opinion based on who they know and their circumstances in their life. The research has found an association. So it's really important to say that, because it doesn't mean it's causal. It doesn't mean if you use drugs, you will get HIV. Mm-hmm. And if you're using drugs and you don't have HIV and so forth. So there is a bit of an association. Over the years, it hasn't, again, not been great research. Sometimes they've gone into a club, they've interviewed people, asked a range of questions, made a few associations and said one causes the other. But yeah, so it certainly seems that that's one of the markers of a higher risk behaviour, and that higher risk behaviour may be placing you in some of those higher risk situations. But it's really important to note that it's not necessarily drug specific. So in Australia at the moment, it's focusing on crystal methamphetamine. In North America, they have crack cocaine. So mm-hmm. it's different. So in some of the earlier research found that the association between drug use and HIV, it was amyl nitrite or poppers that was driving that association. So and also in Australia, we have alcohol as well. Higher alcohol consumption is placing people at risk, because they're finding themselves in some of those at-risk or higher-risk situations. So there is an association, but it's a lot more complex than what I think we think it is.
And when we talk about sexual adventurous sex, do you think drug use can increase the risk?
I certainly think so. Again, I think it's looking at those situations that are placing that person or people at risk. So one of them is, some of the research has said, suggesting that, you know, it's the more partners you have. So people that are engaging in group sex at a higher risk. And if you're also using a range of substances, whether it's alcohol or something illicit, if you're injecting drugs, that also might be placing you at risk. So yeah.
Now, you mentioned earlier in the show, right at the start of the show, you mentioned marijuana as one of the drugs that people do use. Do you have an opinion that you'd care to share on the medical use of marijuana? I mean, there's been a lot of talk. Now, a lot of that talk, admittedly, is on Facebook. but there has also been, articles or stories in print media, on TV, radio. So some of the more commoner forms of communication devices. But equally, on Facebook, lots of people are chatting about the medical use of marijuana and how it works. So there are people who claim that marijuana is really good for treating people with cancer, treating people with HIV, if not treating completely, then reducing the stress associated with having certain conditions in your life. So either self-prescribed, or, you know, that there's a model being proposed by government that marijuana will be used for medical use. Do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, and I think it will happen. It's only a matter of time that it will happen. And I think it's a good thing. Stealing from our Prime Minister, it's an exciting time to be alive for drug law reform in Australia at the moment, because we are now having this conversation. It's a very sensible conversation. I don't care about the research, what it says. If people are saying that it alleviates their symptoms, whether it's people with cancer or people with AIDS, whatever the symptoms, I think that's a good thing. I think it's probably happening slower than what people would like. But when it comes to drug law reform, it doesn't happen very often. And if we are looking at changing the laws around something that is illegal at the moment, we only really have one shot at doing it, is my view. So let's get it right. But as the world starts turning and changing, we're seeing it in the US, we've seen it in Europe, we're seeing it in Canada. Their new prime minister is looking at changing cannabis laws. It's only a matter of time, and let's get it right so it works properly.
And do you think that, just finally, do you think that if they do decriminalise, if you like, marijuana for medical use, does that automatically mean it will be decriminalised across society as a whole? And will then that be the slippery slope, as some people would say, that will lead to everything being decriminalised?
Look, I think decriminalisation means that we're moving police resources to where they should be used rather than focusing on people that have smoked pot. So That's probably what we would like. I don't hold out hope for that. I think if we get it to a point where we can use it medicinally, that's probably the win that we're going to have. But outside of that, I'm not going to hold my breath.
Matt, it's been great having you in the studio. I feel we could do the entire show with you. So perhaps we could get you back again sometime.
I'd love to.
To explore the topic in greater depth. But thank you for coming into the studio today. Just to remind our listener, here at Joy and equally at the Victorian AIDS Council, we don't condone the use of illegal drugs and substances. However, we do think if people are going to be using, they should have the knowledge to use responsibly and with a degree of safety. So, Matt, thank you for coming in today.
My pleasure. It's been great.
Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. Joining us in the studio is Bill O'Loughlin, the president of Harm Reduction Victoria. No stranger to Joy, no stranger to Well, Well, Well. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tex.
Now, Bill, to start with, perhaps you could share with us and the listener a little bit about the work of Harm Reduction Victoria. What's it there for?
Look, it's very similar to VAC. It's a community-based organisation. In this instance, we're a community-based group of representing drug users in Victoria.
Mm-hmm. So where are you active? Is there a target community, or would it be more appropriate to say there are target communities? Is it?
No, there are target communities.
Yep.
Historically, we evolved out of the HIV response to opiate users. So a lot of our work was around safe injecting, safe opiate use. Over time, we're quite pleased with the fact that we have evolved as the drug using scene in Victoria has evolved. So we are now very much representing a lot of what's happening amongst younger people in drug use and use of what they call novel psychoactive substances, which I'm sure you know all about, Tex. It's the drugs which are coming out of say, for example, China, which are always having their composition change, hallucinogenics and those sorts of things. We're very much part of the community of people that use that and know a lot about it as well.
Okay, there have been recent deaths associated with the drug ecstasy in high-profile dance parties, with talk in some quarters of the benefits of pill testing to determine the purity of particular drugs. Now, as far as I'm aware, pill testing used to be done till about 15 years ago. There's been some talk anyway on Facebook, that source of all wisdom. Does Harm Reduction Victoria have a view on pill testing and whether it would be good in the community?
We have a very clear view that pill testing is necessary at events where people are taking drugs. You're correct, it was happening in Victoria unofficially up until 2007 by a small group of people that were very committed to trying to let people know what was taking. We have a project called DanceWise, which attends all of these major parties, and it's made up of members of the community who are trained to give information about safer drug use and to look after people who are affected by alcohol or drugs. And we want to see pill testing available. We know that it's in practice in a number of European countries. It's very simple, costs $50,000 for a machine. They can give an analysis of the drug within 20 minutes, and people can then decide whether they are willing to take the drug or not.
Now, the Commonwealth government has recently announced their latest ICE action plan funding. Do you think this will make a difference to ICE users?
Carlos, the answer in a nutshell is it's there's a real problem with it.
Mm.
It completely leaves out looking at people that are choosing to take ice and don't want to stop using it, which is the area we specialise in of harm reduction, which is giving people information and education to look after themselves while they're doing it. This plan is very big. It looks very comprehensive. It was well publicised when it was released. I've read it very carefully. It is, in fact, a return to the old days of do not start taking drugs, and if you are taking ice, in this instance, then stop, and here is the treatment services for you. So no, in a nutshell, it won't work.
Hmm.
And thinking of all of this funding that they're going to roll out, and you're saying that it won't necessarily work, are the people that you interact with, you as in Harm Reduction Victoria, are they traditionally people who are using crystal methamphetamine, or are they using a wider variety of drugs?
Look, two things are happening with crystal meth. One is undoubtedly its use is quite widespread, and it's spreading into all different sorts of groups. But secondly, it is not unusual for people to use more than just meth at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about polydrug use. And part of what we need to look at in our education is what we specialise in is being people from that community who can say, look, this is what people are doing. These are the things they need to know about. And let's write it or provide it in ways they will respect and won't feel like, you know, traditionally they expect to be told off, you know, stop using drugs or don't do this or don't do that. It has no effect. What we do is say, look, we know you're doing this. We understand it. This is what you might need to know. And people love that.
It's interesting you say that because there used to be a series of posters that would appear, especially on train stations, which showed people in the depths of depression because of their ice use, you know, their dank hair. And is that necessarily the view of someone who, and I'd be asking from your response for from people you've spoken to, you know, do they react to that sort of, if you like, negative advertising? And if not, you know, what should perhaps government be looking at as a message, a portrayal, if you like?
Those ads are primarily run by governments in order to be able to tell their constituents, the people, we have done something about ice. So it's more of a PR vote-catching mm-hmm. gesture. All of the research shows they don't work. And I'd qualify this by saying this is in a different category to, say, some of the more sustained advertising that's happened around tobacco use and alcohol. That's done in a much mm-hmm. more sophisticated way. People laugh at those ads. I mean, I saw one released yesterday in Western Australia showing a domestic situation with a young man and a woman going berserk and one of their older parents running out the front door, clutching a baby in her arms to save the baby from this disastrous household. You know, the key problem is when someone uses ice for the first time, they feel fantastic. They do not think, oh my God, I'm going to turn into that scene mm-hmm. portrayed on that ad. There's a huge disconnect. So no, those ads backfire. People just look at them and laugh.
Right, on that dispiriting note, Bill.
Am I being a bit blunt for you, Tex?
No, never too blunt. But we do have another piece of music to play, and then we have a few more messages, and then we'll return to talking with Bill.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well on Joy 94.9. And Carlos, we've had a couple of messages in.
We had. Look, the first one, Caroline and Trish, kisses. We hope you have a great festive season. Hi to the Well team.
Oh, thanks, Carolina. Trish, great to hear from you.
The second one. Thanks for a very frank conversation about ice use. John.
Thanks, John.
And we even have a third one, don't we?
Yep.
I know a number of people who use crystal on a casual basis and have done so for many years. Most of those I've come into contact with have their use well under control, continue to function normally in day-to-day life, hold down jobs, etc. This is done via a number of means, for example, use at start of breaks from work, holiday or Friday night rather than Sunday night. Yes, there are some people who have problems, but ads that portray all users as madmen, throwing things and belting people will never work for this section of users.
And that's from Brad. Thank you, Brad, for that message as well, which sort of reinforces what you were saying before, Bill. Now, Bill, this year, Harm Reduction Victoria signed a memorandum of understanding with the Victorian AIDS Council. And this was in conjunction with Harm Reduction Victoria's DanceWise program, which you've already mentioned. What is some of the stuff, what does DanceWise mean? And then what's some of the stuff that has already happened, the things that have worked under the collaboration?
Look, the story is that Harm Reduction Victoria and VAC began talking together because we were saying that we work with drug using communities, some of whom are LGBTI. And VAC was saying, obviously, they're around health and well-being for their communities and that drug use is an issue. The partnership fell into place very easily. In fact, we began to work together before the MOU was put together. And, for example, VAC's alcohol and drug program and counselling program have had people from Harm Reduction Victoria go in and talk with their staff around particular drug issues. We've attended some of the groups that VAC runs. We were involved in an event at Club 80 that VAC put on around, you had some visiting porn stars.
Oh, indeed, America. Yes, yes.
And we've been picked up in the resources that VAC has been produced recently, particularly Touch Base. And it's actually been a really lovely experience for both organisations, I think.
Now, most recently, the collaborations revolved around some dance parties, men-only dance parties. Do you expect that this will expand in the future to perhaps more mixed events? I mean, there have been some mixed events, but more mixed events?
Yeah, this has been central to our discussions. Our DanceWise model is we have members of the festival dance party community who we train to provide information about safer drug use and also train in looking after people that are having a tough time with, say, their alcohol or drugs. And we partnered with VAC very early on to run this model at some men-only parties where drug use was known to be occurring. And we've done some basic training of VAC volunteers, but the idea is that we will blend together as much as possible so that we will start having some people from the VAC volunteer base come in and work with DanceWise when we do the more mainstream events and festivals to which LGBTI people go to, as well as keeping building up VAC's capacity to be present at LGBTI events at which some kind of outreach or over program can be useful.
Now, I have to ask this question because I did write it to you and I thought, well, will we or won't we? But we will. So will this collaboration or this working together involve some of the longer events that go for a succession of days? And I've written down tree-hugging events, which would be resonant with people of my age, but might necessarily be to younger people.
It is a bit of a timepiece to talk about tree-hugging because these our DanceWise group came out of that community that would go off and do the bush stuffs and things like that. Tex, I'm very pleased to announce that I've talked to your boss about this and he's quite willing to commit you to attend a number of these tree-hugging events in the next year as a very experienced outreach person and communicator. And we'd be delighted at Harm Reduction Victoria to have you in our projects.
Tessie, get ready your tutu.
All you need is a pair of moon boots with a cowboy hat, water pistols, and just some sparkle makeup, Tex, and you'd fit in perfectly.
Well, that sounds sensational, Bill.
Now, you have a number of excellent online and printed resources for folk who may be having trouble with drug use, who had input into these resources. What are some of those?
Okay, Carlos, again, this is the same principle that VAC does. Our resources are developed by drug users and they're developed in ways where we get feedback from other drug users to see whether it's the right language. And it's not just about people getting into trouble. It's about explaining the nature of the drug and its effects, what to look out for, etc., and how to be safe in using it. And the reason we're very proud of them is because people from the drug use groups have said, this is the kind of information I need in the language I like.
Now, what would be your take-home message for people using who perhaps will be using recreational drugs over the holiday period and beyond?
Look, in a nutshell, I reckon take 10 or 15 minutes and educate yourself about what you're going to be taking.
Mm-hmm.
Vax Touchbase new website is fantastic. I'm not just saying this as someone who always promotes websites. I found it a particularly enjoyable, surprising website to be led around on. So if you know you're going to be taking drugs, take a bit of time and educate yourself about it. Don't just rely on the fact that someone who hands you the drug will know what it's about and can be trusted. And it literally 10 or 15 minutes, that's what you need to do, because you need to recognize that both you want to find out how to enjoy yourself while you're taking the drugs, but you also need to know how to make sure that you don't get into trouble. And it's easy to find that out beforehand.
Bill, it's been great to have you in the studio today to discuss this topic. Is there a website for Harm Reduction Victoria?
Of course, you just look up Google Harm Reduction Victoria or the website hrvic.org.au.
And after this next series of messages, Carlos and I will be talking about Touchbase, the website that you've just mentioned about. Just to remind our listener here at Joy and at the Victorian AIDS Council, we don't condone the use of illegal drugs and substances. However, we do think if people are using these substances, they should have the knowledge to use responsibly and with a degree of safety. Bill, it's been great to have you in the studio. Thanks for coming in today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
At Joy 94.9, there are approximately 300 volunteers bringing you over 75 shows, 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of facts and figures to take in, but here's one more number for you to think about. 1-300-569-949. That's the number to call to talk to the Joy sales team about becoming a Joy sponsor. One phone call can get your business on air and online, reaching thousands of Joy listeners at a price you can afford. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949.
I can't believe it, Carlos. Here on Well, 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 Joy 94.9, we're nearly at the end of another show.
That was very quick, wasn't it?
It was very quick indeed. Now, Bill mentioned in our last interview the website touchbase.org.au. So for those wanting to plan and organise their illicit drug use, or perhaps to find out about the drugs that they may be considering taking, you may care to visit this website, Touchbase. It's one word, Touchbase, T-O-U-C-H-B-A-S-E, touchbase.org.au.
And remember, all of our shows, including this one and many from previous weeks, are available to download on podcast. So if you're already listening and want to hear it again or share it with a friend, jump on the joy.org.au website, locate our show on the program grid, and it will pop up there, all the previous shows. Mm-hmm. Also, a big thank you to our podcaster, David, for the great work he's done.
Indeed. Thank you to everybody who messaged in today. It was great to hear some personal stories about recreational drug use. Did want to say a quick hello again to the NAB volunteers currently at VAC making safe sex packs, to Ben, Claire, George and Tiani. Thank you for the work that you're doing. Those packs will be distributed over the midsummer season. This has been the second last Well, Well, Well for the year. Next Tuesday, Jack and I'll be in the studio. We'll be talking about a whole new set of topics. And so we'll be back next Tuesday at noon for the last show for 2015. We hope you can join us. Now, Carlos, we're going to listen to Belinda Carlisle.
Correct.
Mad About You. It sort of sums up my relationship with you, Carlos.
You're completely mad.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye-bye.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.